Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
We're still in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and we're still going through verses 16 through 19 as Paul expresses his protection for the people there in Colossae. In verse 16 is his command, "Let not anyone therefore judge you." The word "therefore" is making reference back to the truth that he's presenting to them. That once a person has received Christ, they have been made complete. God's process of salvation is complete once a person receives Christ into their spirit. And he said in chapter 1, verse 27, that Christ in you is the hope of glory. So the hope of heaven and hope of glory is Christ dwelling in you in his fullness, not the keeping of the law. As what are called Judaizers, people who believed that Jesus was the Messiah, but also believed that in order to believe in the Messiah, you must keep the law of the Old Testament, which God's word says was never intended to produce life, but rather the knowledge of what sin is. And Galatians chapter 3 says the law was given to draw us to Christ and to help us see our need of Christ. So he says in chapter 16, verse 1, "Let not anyone therefore judge you." That's the command. Then the categories, the two categories, having to do with food. "Let no one judge you in food or in drink." Secondly, or in respect of the feast days, or of the new moon, or of Sabbaths. Beginning with the annual feasts that are celebrated throughout the year, to the new moon, which is the beginning of every month, down to the Sabbaths, which is weekly. So we have yearly and monthly and weekly progression down to the Sabbath days. We saw that from Leviticus that the feast days are all representative of the ministry of Christ. We saw that the new moons and the celebration of the new moon is the celebration of the new life in Christ. Or don't let anyone judge you of the Sabbath. And that's what Christians hear more of today than any other time, is that you need to keep the Sabbath. If you don't keep the Sabbath, they say, you're not going to heaven. You need to believe in Jesus and keep the Sabbath. That is, in fact, the Sabbath for the Jews is Saturday, Sunday being the first day of the week. They were to keep the Sabbath days. And then thirdly, the content. The reason why we are not to allow ourselves to be judged about these things is because they are a shadow of the coming things. But the body or substances of Christ, the feast days and the new moon and even the Sabbath days are shadows or outlines or representations of Christ. So if you have Christ, you have what the feasts celebrate. You have what the new moon signifies. You have your Sabbath day rest in the person of Jesus Christ. So in content, Christ is the substance. These other things are just laws and rules and regulations. We spent the last couple of weeks on understanding the Sabbaths. We saw from Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, that on the seventh day, God rested, literally he finished, ceased from his work, his creative works, which he did in 6 days. We learned that they were finished. We learned that the term Sabbath is not even mentioned in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It's only the Sabbath day, it's only the seventh day, and that God rested. But the term Sabbath is not mentioned in the creation account. And we also saw, and we'll come back to this, that in Genesis chapter 1, that in the 6 days of creation, at the end of each creation day, it was evening and morning day one, evening, morning day two. That tagline in Hebrew is for at the end of each of the creation days. We saw in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, that on the seventh day, it never said it was evening and morning the seventh day. We'll pick that up in a moment. The first mention of Sabbath in the Bible is in Exodus chapter 16, where God says you are to have a Sabbath day in relation to the Passover meal. And then the command for it is in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, that they are to keep a Sabbath day. One day from all of the seven you are to set apart and keep and rest because, and then the mention back to Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 about creation. The reason why you are to is because God rested on the seventh day and he sanctified it. That's the key. He set the seventh day apart from all the other days. So that in Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 17, God told them, keep my Sabbaths, because they are a sign between me and the children of Israel. So it's Jewish, between God and the children of Israel, so that they will know that God himself is the one who sanctifies them. It's a sign. So that you stop and rest and say, this is what it's going to be like spiritually when God sets you apart. But the penalty for it, according to Exodus chapter 31, was death. You didn't keep the Sabbath day, you died. Last week we spent time in Hebrews chapter 4 because it picks up for us the end of the seventh day, or the seventh day of creation back in Genesis 2, 1 through 3, at the end, as I mentioned just a moment ago, there is no evening and morning and seventh day. There is no end of the seventh day. So God finished his work. He set the seventh day aside because God ceased his creative works and set that day aside from all the other days. Hebrews chapter 4, the writer of Hebrews says that it is still today. It is still the Sabbath, the seventh day. It never ended. That it was true in Joshua's day, that God continually tried to draw his people into his rest. And then 400 years after Joshua, when David wrote Psalm 95, he said, back then, God said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. David says, well, today is still today. And it's still true today. And the writer of Hebrews says, and it is still true today. Today is the day of salvation. And the writer of Hebrews in chapter 4 makes reference to Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, that just as God finished and ceased his creative works and entered into his rest, so we are to finish our works, stop all of our works, that is efforts to try to be saved, and we are to enter into his rest. He says, therefore, the conclusion is that a Sabbath rest, a Sabbath day rest, is still waiting for the people of God. Therefore, do not fail to enter in. So the creation, in the creation account, it's a beautiful picture of salvation. even in the spirit realm for salvation purposes. God completed his work for salvation. Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished." So now all there is left is to enter into his rest, and he sets us aside and for him, and we enter into his rest. Every day is the Sabbath day for a Christian, spiritually. We have ceased from our works, and we have entered into his rest, his cessation from work, because his creative salvation works are finished. But then there's another aspect about the Sabbath day. We're told here in dealing with the people who go around and try to preach and try to tell people, you know, well, you believe in Jesus Christ, you've got to keep the law, you've got to keep the feast days, and you've got to keep the Sabbath day in order to maintain and keep your salvation. Those people are false teachers, and we're told, don't let anyone judge you. Interesting, it doesn't say we are to judge them. Don't let people put that on you. Now, that theme continues in the New Testament. And if you have the supplement for today, Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. The principles and concepts of judgment and allowing yourself to be judged and how you are to be allow yourself to be judged are all found in Romans chapter 14. It's in that section in the book of Romans from chapter 12 on in Romans. It's the description of the Christian life, the function of it. In Romans chapter 14, we have two sections. We have our participation in judging other people and our participation in offending other people. Two areas in which the writer, Paul, in Romans chapter 14, ministers to us. There's a small element in this chapter that has to do with Sabbath days and dietary laws. But we're going to take the whole chapter as it's full of principles about not letting yourself be judged and not judging others. So verses 1 through 12 are participation in judging others. In verse 1, it tells us the primary people who are involved in this discussion. Now, the one being weak in the faith, the command is to receive him. Not for judgments of opinions. So the one being weak in the faith, that's one person. Then the other person is the one who is mature. He's the one being spoken to. Receive the person being weak with respect to the faith. In other words, a person who is weak in the faith is someone who cannot trust the Lord but needs rules and regulations to guide their life. They're weak as far as faith. And it's a participle, by the way, the one being weak. It's a spiritual condition. It's not just a daily part of a day or a couple of days out of the week. This person is in a continuous condition of being weak in the faith. So the primary command is to receive this person who is weak, but not for judgments of opinions or discussions. A young, immature believer cannot enter into discussions with a mature believer that understands these things. The discussion will not go well. Here's why. In verse 2, the practice of each one. On the one hand, one believes that he may eat all things. But on the other hand, the one being weak is eating only vegetables. This has nothing to do with human diets. has nothing to do with a vegetarian being is a person who's weak in the faith. This is for spiritual reasons. These are diets that people say they're on in order to produce better spirituality. These are people that are keeping certain dietary laws in order to be right with God. And we've already dealt with that in Mark chapter 7, where Jesus said what goes in the mouth, it's not what defiles a person, it's what comes out of their heart and out of their mouth, that's what defiles them. So he says it's not the food you put in that spiritually affects you, it's what comes out of your heart that spiritually affects you. So the first practice is one believes he can eat any food he wants to. Even the very things in Leviticus chapter 11 that are the dietary laws of the Jews that they're told not to eat. A person who is mature in the faith knows that those dietary laws have nothing to do with spirituality. We can eat anything. Paul believed he could eat anything. But the one who is weak only eats vegetables. So the principles and judgment, here's the first bracket of principles, verses 3 and 4. The principle of judgment, let not the one eating, that is anything, let him not despise the one not eating, that is the one who eats vegetables. And let not the one not eating judge the one eating, for God received him. Notice the verbs here. The person who is older in the Lord and more mature in the faith, they despise, they make light of those who are weak in the faith because it's silly rules and regulations that don't produce anything. So those who are eating and know that they can eat anything and it has nothing to do with spirituality, they are not to despise, make light of the person who's not eating anything. And the one who's not eating, let him not judge. People who are rule keepers and law keepers, they judge people because people are not keeping the same laws and rules that they're keeping and that they see other people having the freedom to violate those rules and laws. And so, judgmental. So the mature one is not to make light of the more immature in the faith, and the one who is immature in the faith is not to judge the one who is mature in the faith. For God received him. God receives both people. That's kind of hard to... If you put yourself in the position of judging other people, it's hard for someone to tell you, you know, God's received that person just the way they are. God's received him, why can't you? Because you're given the command there in verse 1 to receive one another. So God's received him. Why can't you receive him? Well, they're not keeping the rules. Verse 4, the promise for each. Who are you, the one judging another's servant? In other words, each Christian is the servant of the Lord, not the servant of people. To his own master, he is standing or falling. Notice the present tenses. Before the Lord, a person is either standing or is falling. And he will stand, for God is able to make him stand. Great principles here. A person who is standing strong in the Lord is so because the Lord is causing them to stand strong. If a person is falling in their walk, it's because the Lord is letting them fall. But in the end, every person will stand because God is able to make him stand. See, without the Lord, people can't make it anyway. You can't tell a person, well, you're following dietary laws and that's silly. Well, God's able to make him stand. It's not dependent upon the dietary laws they keep or don't keep. God either makes you stand or lets you fall. But in the end, you will stand because God will make people stand. Verses 5 and 6. Before we talked about the dietary, now we talk about the Sabbath days. The perception of each in verse 5. On the one hand, one is judging a day above another day. That would be Sabbath day keepers. One day is above all other days. And on the other hand, one is judging every day alike. As every day is the Lord's day. Versus one person saying, oh, today's the Lord's day. You got to keep all the rules and regulations. Interesting, because the proper perspective of Christians is that one day, it's not just one day. All 7 days belong to the Lord. How do you keep one day to the letter, to the T, legalistically, and then spend the next 6 days corrupting it? It's silly. It doesn't make sense. If you're going to be a law keeper, you got to be a law keeper. But law keepers don't make it because they're not meant to make it. The laws are there to convict us of our sin. The persuasion of each in the latter part of verse 5, let each one be fully persuaded in his own mind. So if you're persuaded at this point in your walk with the Lord that you need to esteem one day above another or every day alike, you be persuaded with where you're at in the Lord. Now, that does not mean that truth is relative to each person. Truth for you might be different than truth is for me. Truth is the truth. We're talking about receiving people and accepting the fact that it's the Lord that causes people to stand or to fall, and He will make them stand if they belong to Him. We don't need to be judging them and getting involved in that way in discussions and judgments of opinions. But each person must be persuaded how they are to follow in this road, this trek that has to do with obedience to Christ, especially about the Sabbath day or dietary laws. He says in verse 6, the process of each. The one being mindful of the day, that is, he's got it fixed in his mind that this one day is above another. He's doing it to the Lord, in response to the Lord. And the one not being mindful of the day, that is, not one day above another, but every day alike, he is not minding it to the Lord. The one eating, he's eating to the Lord, for he is giving thanks to God. And the one who's not eating, that is solid food but vegetables, he does not eat to the Lord, and he is giving thanks to God. Each one is giving thanks to God. Each one, wherever they're at in the Lord, they're doing it in response to the Lord. So Paul is saying that's all that counts at this point. Second set of principles in verses 7 to 9, the possession of each one. For not one of us is living to himself, and not one of us is dying to himself. We have no control over that, in spite of the fact we'd like to think we are. The principle of each, for both, if we should live, we are living to the Lord, and if we should die, we are dying to the Lord. Therefore, both if we should live and if we should die, we are of the Lord. Of the Lord means we're His possession. We're His. And because we're still living today, at least I think we are, because we're still living, it's because the Lord has planned us to continue to live. When the Lord makes an end to living, we will die. But even that will be under the design and power and control of the Lord. And the provision for each, verse 9, for unto this Christ both died and rose and lived again, in order that he might be lording over both the dead and the living. Lording is a verb. He is the Lord of both the dead and the living, but he is actively lording over both, in charge of both. Verse 10 says, the problem of each of these. Now, why are you judging your brother? Or also, why are you despising your brother? See, speaking to each one. Why are you judging your brother? That would be to the one who is weak in respect to the faith. Why are you judging that person? Because they're not a law keeper like you are. Or why are you despising the other person? Why are you making light of them? For all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He's the judge. We are his servant. We don't belong to one another. We belong to Christ. The prophecy for each, for it has been written. This is Isaiah 45, verse 23. Isaiah 45, 23. For it has been written, as I live, says the Lord, that every knee will bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Knowing that, verse 12 says in conclusion, then therefore each one of us will give account concerning himself to God. Everybody's going to answer up to the Lord. No one's going to get away with anything. Therefore, he says, why are you judging and despising one another? The last part of this chapter, verses 13 to 23, is our participation in offending. In other words, we're not to judge one another, but we're to judge ourselves. Uh-oh. The proper judgment, verse 13. Therefore, we should no longer judge one another, but rather judge this. Not to put a stumbling block or an offense to his brother. Not to lead people astray by how we live and what we do and not put something in someone's way to trip over as they go to follow Christ. That's what we're to judge. Now, as we go through this, what it's actually saying here is that those who are mature in the Lord, just like in human life, when you're a little kid, you run all over the place and you know, the adults have to sacrifice themselves for how they guide the younger people and how that they represent a good example to the younger people. But as you grow older and become an adult, you must sacrifice more of yourself, your actions, your talk affects the younger people. So the more mature you grow as a Christian, the less you have the freedom to exercise yourself and your rights and your freedom. If you see that the dietary laws are not right for you, it's not right for any Christian, but some people in their immaturity are stuck in it, we're not to flaunt our freedom to say, oh, you don't believe in eating ribs, huh? Well, I'm going to go up to the serving counter and I'm going to get myself some ribs and eat them right in front of you just to show you I have the freedom to do that. And you guys are silly. No, that's offensive. And if that other person thinks that eating those ribs is a spiritual sin in their own evaluation, then you're causing them to sin. Even though you know it's not sin. So you see, there's a tremendous responsibility here. Judge yourselves not to put a stumbling block or offense to my brother. The principle of uncleanness. He says, I know and have been persuaded in the Lord that nothing through itself is common, literally unclean, except to the one calculating anything to be common or unclean. To that one, it is unclean. Paul says, I've reached a point in my walk in the Lord that the dietary laws and all these various things have nothing to do with spirituality. I can do it or not do it. Doesn't make any difference. But to some people, it does make a difference. The principle of love, verse 15, but if your brother is grieved through your food, You no longer walk according to love. Do not destroy that one by your food on behalf of whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be blasphemed, that is, spoken against. The particulars of the kingdom, the reasons why, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In other words, the kingdom of God has nothing to do with food. So it doesn't make any difference what I eat or what I can eat or can't eat at any specific time. The perspective of service, verse 18, for the one serving Christ in these things is well-pleasing to God and is approved of men. This is what God's pleased with. As I mature, I have the freedom, and I've said this to you before, true freedom is not the freedom to do whatever I want to do. That's not the freedom the Bible talks about. Freedom in the Bible is what you're free not to do. Then you're free. Verse 19, the pursuit of edification. He says, then therefore we should pursue the things of peace and the things of building up one another. Peace meaning unity. The mature believer and the immature believer are all one in Christ. And we should be concerned about building people up, leading them in the right direction, steering them in the right direction, not turning them off and offending them. Verse 20, the principle of offense. Do not, on account of your food, destroy the work of God. Indeed, all things are clean, but it is bad or wrong to the man eating on account of the stumbling block. Paul mentions this in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. He said, I can go down the marketplace and buy a piece of meat that's for sale down the marketplace that they used up in the cult temple where they worshiped food and sacrificed that to their God. They took it off the grill, took it down to the marketplace and sold it. He says, just a piece of meat to me. But if a younger Christian sees me buy that piece of meat to eat, he's going to associate that meat with the cult temple up on the hill. And he's going to say, well, if Paul is participating now with demons. Paul says, there's no demons inside that meat. It's just food. So he says, I know better. But younger Christians don't know better. So he says, because of my brother, I will not eat meat. I won't buy that meat down in the marketplace because of the wrong impression and the wrong influence that it will have on younger Christians. Verse 21, the principle of responsibility is good not to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor to do anything in which your brother is stumbling or is being offended or is being made weak. So it's not anything specific. It's not anything in particular, but everything in general. Even if it's right to do, some people spiritually and religiously think it's wrong to do. I have the freedom not to do it for the sake of the other person, he says. Concerning private faith, you say, well, you have faith to do it? Do you have faith, verse 22? Have it according to yourself before God. Blessed is the one not judging himself in what thing he is approving. You have the freedom and the faith, then do it privately. Have it before God. You'll be blessed not judging yourself in what you're approving of. But then there's the principle of doubt, but the one doubting is being judged. If he should eat, because it is not from out of faith. For everything which is not from out of faith is sin. Very powerful verse. Everything not produced by faith is sin. And as we said to you before about faith itself, faith is produced by the Holy Spirit. Faith is the word that describes the presence and the activity of God's Spirit in a believer's life. The word faith means persuasion, and that's the word that describes the ministry of God's Spirit over us from within. It's invisible. It's not heard by human ears. It is a conviction. It is a persuasion that is produced by God's Spirit. If that spirit of faith is not producing it, it is called sin. Period. Not whether it's right or wrong for a Christian to do. It's how it affects other people. That's what God's concerned about. He's not concerned about our rights and our freedom to do with what we want to do. He's more concerned with the influence that he gives for other people in their understanding about following Christ. That which is not of faith is sin. So we have the principles of judgment. Back in Colossians, Paul said, let no one judge you in these areas. But there is some responsibility in judgment. There will be people who will be keeping Sabbath days and dietary laws because they are weak with respect to the faith. They can't trust the Lord. They have to have the rules and regulations to give them the security and the assurance that they belong to Christ and they're not going to lose their salvation. Well, if they are of the Lord, eventually they'll grow out of it. Just like the mature believers had to go through that phase and they have grown out of it. So do that which makes for peace and that which is for the development of people. We should be more interested, instead of correcting people, we should be more interested in helping them grow in their relationship to Christ, that they might reach a point where they can live by faith and not by the legalistic laws put down by religion. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that truly sets us free, but also helps us to understand that we are free not to do what we want to do, but we are free to not do things. Not do the things that would be offensive to others and not do the things that would lead people in the wrong direction as far as following Christ is concerned. We pray that you would help us to understand this. We are not to allow ourselves to be judged by the legalists and the rule keepers, but at the same time, we are to judge ourselves as to how we are influencing and affecting and showing people the right way to go, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not by, as the writer says, these judgments of disputings, but rather we are to receive one another, pray for one another, but it is our life and maybe even our words that would guide people in the right direction about what the truth of God's word says. But in all, we are to receive one another, and the judgment that we are to give is to be placed upon ourselves. How are we influencing and affecting everybody around us? We are not to offend or put a stumbling block in anybody's way, no matter how right or wrong they are or how right or wrong we are. It's where they're at in the Lord. And we are to walk according to love and make that sacrifice to let them mature in Christ, just like they are to let us mature in Christ. We pray that you teach us about these things and work these things out in us. In Jesus' name, amen.